It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Data centers are a hot topic in communities all over the state as tech companies look to site these energy-intensive projects in places with abundant fresh water, like Wisconsin.
And data centers are literally hot, too. These massive storage and data processing facilities are energy-hungry. They heat up their surroundings and require large amounts of water to cool them down.
But how much water do data centers actually use, and what's their true environmental impact?
Researchers at UW-Milwaukee's Center for Water Policy tackled those questions, and they recently published their findings in a paper. It's titled The Hidden Environmental Costs of Data Centers and AI.
They also reviewed data center projects around the country and from that created a legislative model with recommendations for policymakers.
To learn more about this, I spoke with Tressie Camp, Assistant Director of the Center for Water Policy at UW-Milwaukee. Traditional data centers, they've been around since at least the 1990s, storing and processing the data that powers the internet. What is different about this new influx of proposed AI data centers, especially in their environmental impact?
So the difference is really scale. And we use, try to set it in real life examples sometimes. If you think of our smaller neighborhood data centers that, as you said, have been around for some time now, and we may not even have realized it, that could be akin to, a laptop that you've left sitting on your desk. When we're talking about hyperscale, or as we call it, AI data centers, it really is just that. It's an issue of scale. And the scale and the type of equipment that's in the building is really very reflective of the technology demands that are coming from outside the building, from all of us, and technologies like AI and crypto that are really driving this much higher scale infrastructure at these data center facilities.
And so hyperscale means they need a lot more resources to run these operations. They need more energy. They need more natural resources like water.
That's correct. And it's important not to forget the other aspects of resource use as well, including land. So One reason that people are noticing these more is simply because the facilities are more noticeable from actions just, driving through the countryside that may be right outside the city or the village in which you live. So they are bigger and simply more visible and noticeable, taking up more land than some of these smaller facilities that have been around for much longer.
So focusing in here on the water consumption, in 2023, U.S. data centers consumed an estimated 17 billion gallons of water directly. That's from the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, and that's not counting indirect consumption from electricity. Can you put that number into context for us?
Sure. So that's a really important number. It's also important to point out that the Lawrence Berkeley lab and that estimate from 2023 are the best numbers that we're aware of, but it really is important to keep calling for increased research into this. And 3 years later, we know, especially based on the evolving nature of this industry and all of our AI use, that it's important to keep asking for updated numbers. The 17 billion, like you said, is direct, and that's just for cooling. The indirect number that you mentioned is 211 billion gallons. So if you're looking at a pie chart, and this is a pie chart that we try to use in our presentation for all of us visual learners out there, that 211 billion gallons is by far the biggest piece of the pie.
Wow. And when you say consume, That word means that does the water go away? What does that mean to consume that amount of water?
Thanks. That's a really important question and a really important thing for all of us as consumers, public users of AI and infrastructure to understand this. So consumption doesn't just equal withdrawn. So a data center consumes water when it is not returned to the immediate area where it was taken from or withdrawn. And it's not returned because that water is either evaporated during the cooling of those hot, thirsty data centers or in generating electricity for that facility, which we just discussed is the bigger part of that pie.
Okay. So when you talk also about some of the hidden environmental costs, with AI data centers, you and your colleagues have looked into that at the Center for Water Policy. What are these hidden costs?
So it's important to note that this is still a new issue, even in the academic sector. We've been researching the water demands of AI data centers for about 2 years now. We started by researching the water and energy demands of these facilities, and then more recently moved into a second phase of research involving a 50-state review of legislation that could regulate this emerging industry. It's important to point out that hidden can mean a few things. For the general public, I want to focus first on the fact that hidden can mean simply not transparent or not fully transparent yet. It can mean that it's really hard still to get numbers to understand concretely how much water, electricity, and other resources these facilities are using. So that's, you know, hidden first is a lack of transparency. And then moving on from that, hidden can also mean other things, such as a debate that focuses, for example, just on direct water use versus really talking more transparently and holistically about the indirect and direct water that's necessary to run these facilities.
Can you explain a little more about this lack of transparency? Is it coming from data center developers not, you know, fully revealing their plans or their usage? Can you cite an example of how that works?
Sure. So like so many of the most pressing environmental issues that we're all dealing with together, it's really important not to, to point fingers, but to say that the problem and the solution can come both from the industry and from all of us as consumers. So because AI data centers are a relatively new industry in our country, their designs and the way that they operate can be considered or have been alleged to be more confidential or sometimes even considered trade secrets. If even when those things, when those allegations aren't part of the picture, it's really just, and our research has focused on the reporting requirements and the permitting requirements and the fact that it is very difficult under the existing regulatory scheme to get numbers about the resource demands and resource use at any particular data center facility from one place in a way that's effective and simple. It really requires outreach and digging in a multifaceted way that can be difficult, even for an academic research center that's focusing on this important issue for a big chunk of our time.
We're talking about the water usage and environmental impacts of data centers with Tressie Camp, Assistant Director of the Center for Water Policy at UW-Milwaukee. Let's dig further into this suite of recommendations, as you call them, and knowing that, you know, people in Wisconsin have voiced concerns about the environmental costs of AI data centers, about transparency issues. There have been protests. And then there's this recent Marquette poll that found 70% of Wisconsinites across party lines think the costs of these large data centers outweigh the benefits. So what are you recommending that lawmakers and local governments consider as more data centers are coming onto the map here in Wisconsin?
Great question. And I do think it's critical to point out that part of that polling is water impacts. And those that 70% of Wisconsinites believing that the costs outweigh the benefits, water impacts were cited most often as the reason for that vote or that decision. And I do think it's so critical to the advancement of this issue that we note that that was bipartisan polling and that there are folks all over Wisconsin from very different kinds of community throughout the state calling for change. In terms of the specific recommendations and goals in this legislative model, we really boiled it down to 5 goals. And again, that's after the hard work of a team here at the Center for Water Policy. I'd be remiss not to mention them. We have a recent law graduate who did a 50-state survey of how states and some local governments are responding to this issue, boiled that down to 5 goals. The first is improving comprehensive planning. The second, as we started to discuss, is increased transparency and public disclosure. The third goal, and really a reason behind some of the polling that we're seeing and the outcry that we're seeing, the goal now is to protect ratepayers from bearing increased utility costs. The fourth goal is to establish energy and water efficiency prerequisites for AI data centers as conditions for permit approval or for these tax exemptions that we're hearing more about in the media. Last but not least is to increase funding for water management and conservation. So those are five really important goals. Within each of those, there's, again, a suite or a menu of different options that can reflect the different political realities in not just Wisconsin communities, but beyond. And I do think it's telling that three of those goals relate to protecting the public and relate simply to public transparency. By the time we get to goal four and five, we are talking about environmental impacts, water use, energy use, but we're starting with the base of the foundation of our conversation being around public right to know and protecting all of us as taxpayers.
Is there an appetite for regulation at the state level, at the local level? When you look at these five goals, do you see traction?
We are definitely seeing traction. As a note, this is, again, tailored not for Wisconsin, not just for Wisconsin or even for Wisconsin specifically, but was based on a 50-state review. Within each specific state, as we're seeing here in Wisconsin, governments can react incredibly different. We have Wisconsin communities that are enacting tax exemptions and signing non-disclosure agreements, other communities that are enacting moratoria and putting a pause on these facilities while a government figures out how to respond. You're going to see that same, I should say, diversity of responses at the state levels throughout the United States as well, where you're seeing states with, especially now, more of an appetite starting to regulate this industry, and other states that are setting themselves up to be, as you know, to use terms that states themselves are putting out in the media, to be data center capitals of the U.S., if not the world.
Here in Wisconsin and in the Great Lakes region, tech companies are wanting to site these proposed data centers in this region because of our abundance of fresh water. There are laws, you know, surrounding Great Lakes governance. How is the data center debate shaped by the Great Lakes Compact and the legally binding agreement between eight states that includes Wisconsin?
Yes, it is worthwhile noting that these facilities are being proposed in all sorts of ecosystems, all sorts of climates, and that the cumulative impacts of this industry have the potential to create real impact even in relatively water-rich areas. So cumulative impacts of AI data centers, these large-scale facilities, have the potential, if we don't all act quickly and oversee water impacts, energy impacts, to put an unchecked strain on shared natural resources, again, even for water-abundant areas like the Great Lakes. Now, the Great Lakes Compact is going to be a really important starting point for this discussion. And the compact was part of the center's analysis and research into how can we use the compact to start making recommendations and address this industry. Ultimately, especially in Wisconsin and Virginia, in these areas where we did specific case studies, we are looking at data centers that are hooking in to existing infrastructure. They're getting their water from utilities, they're getting their power from power plants that either exist or are going to be constructed. As a result, these facilities are not direct permit holders, and they are not reporting directly under the compact. So we did, in fact, dive into the compact. Of course, it's critical that that compact and the reporting requirements are there. But ultimately, at least as regulation stands today, it is very difficult to use the Great Lakes Compact to understand the resource needs of one particular data center or even data centers in one particular region or state. There's just not data down to a minute enough detail for us to understand, based on Great Lakes Compact recording requirements, how much water these facilities need.
Okay, thank you for that. I want to turn here a moment to data centers that are really pushing what's called this closed loop system. Microsoft has talked about planning a pilot for such a system with zero water evaporation in its data center in Mount Pleasant. What can be said about the design of how this works, and does it put less pressure on local water resources?
Yeah, I'll start by mentioning the upside, which is that if we are all going to continue to use and rely on AI, we are going to have to lean heavily on increasing innovation. Closed loop could be part of the solution. Again, in relative terms, this is a new technology. You mentioned Microsoft. The facilities in Wisconsin that are going to use closed loop, these are really at the forefront of this industry in terms of using closed loop at such a high scale. So the first answer is really that we won't know how comprehensive of a solution closed loop can be until we start to get data from these facilities operating at the full scale that they plan to operate at. It's also really important to note that closed loop addresses those direct water numbers that you and I started talking about. So the direct water that's necessary for cooling. Even closed loop facilities need power to run. And that power is the biggest part of the pie that we talked about that's necessary for these facilities to run. So closed loop, absolutely. Let's keep talking about that as part of the debate and seeing if these facilities can help us push technology to help us make AI more sustainable. But we have to be talking about the energy side of this as well. So we have to be looking at the bigger numbers, the indirect water consumption, the electricity needed for these facilities, and figure out what is the tool going to be to make that energy part of the pie more sustainable.
Some lawmakers and business leaders in Wisconsin think that data centers will be this big economic boon, and they want to offer tax incentives to tech companies to draw them here. In the framework and in the goals, how do you balance those economic considerations with the environmental ones?
Well, part of the legislative model that the Center for Water Policy released did, in fact, focus on some of those economic considerations. And a big thing that we need to ask is economic benefit to a community if a data center, one or more, are going to operate there. If that's the starting point of the discussion, is protecting the community, benefiting the community where they locate, let's follow through on that commitment. So a big part of the legislative model that the center released to make recommendations for the AI data center industry, in fact, focused on community benefit and ensuring benefit to the community, ensuring that taxpayers were protected. It's really important, too, to look at the analysis beyond one phase of these data centers. So are we talking jobs that are necessary to construct these facilities? And that may happen over a time frame of months or years, depending on what part of the construction you're talking about. But how long term are these facilities going to benefit communities from a job perspective and from a tax perspective? Again, we need more examples of communities entering into community benefit agreements with members of the data center industry and seeing the general public protected from rate increases, for example, before we can say that a productive and positive relationship can exist between a community where a facility like this is sited and all the people that live in and play in and work in those communities.
Tressie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That is Tressie Camp, Assistant Director of the Center for Water Policy at UW-Milwaukee. We've been talking about the water usage and the environmental costs of AI data centers in Wisconsin and beyond.